And so blessed with our worship team personnel and our folks and you all for being here bright and early. And while you're here, I'm not sure if we have any other kids or teachers that need to go downstairs, but if you do, please make your way down. If you're staying up here with us, we're going to open up our Bibles, scroll through, or open up to the book of Haggai. Haggai. And we've titled this three, maybe four, depending on how things go, week series titled Renew the Vision. And just to kind of bring back to context where we're at in time, we're roughly 520 B.C. And this is roughly 20 years post-return from Babylonian captivity. Once the Persians came to power, they actually set a decree that anyone that wanted to return back could return back to the land of Judah and to their hometown. And after the temple had been destroyed during the Babylonian siege, and as their homes and their community lay in ruins, they were held in captivity and now they have returned home. And they returned home and they've been there for roughly 18, 20, maybe a few more years. Some say maybe just a little bit more, not as close to 50, but some suspect it may be a little bit more. We're just going to say roughly 20. Because that's what I preached about last week. It's been a long week, all right. Last week about how 20 years can just fly by in a hurry, in which the people had been building their own homes and busying themselves with their own lives and just leaving and neglecting the house of the Lord, and they just let it lay in ruins for nearly 20 years now because they were so caught up in building themselves and building their own paneled houses. And here we are after Haggai has come to them and telling them, and as the people had said for years, the time has not yet come. Just like many people in our day will say, I'm praying about it. I'll pray about it. All the while, just continuing to live in an attitude of procrastination, never getting anything done for the Lord, and never changing anything. They'll just pray about it. They'll think about it. They'll consider it. As the people said for years now, the time has not yet come. And through the prophet Haggai, the Lord speaks to his people. And he tells them that, no, the time has come. It is time to get to work. It is time to build. And what I want us to do is I want us to focus on building what we are building here as far as what God has done with Pleasant Hill over the last few years. Not to think about of anything of ourselves, because we're not building this as far as building the kingdom. We're not building a temple as they built a temple. But we are building the kingdom of God, and we are to advance the gospel to all people, and we are to go into our communities and into our cities that we represent as a church, because we are one body made of many members from many cities with many gifts and many abilities. It is our duty, our responsibility to build the kingdom of God, and it is now time to get serious about being working and serious about doing something. And last week I said, and Mark mentioned it this morning, so those of you that don't know, Mark was here prior to me. I said serious, and Siri thought I was talking to her. Hang on. She said, go ahead, I'm listening. No, shut up. We'll keep it over there. It recognizes my voice. And anytime I say serious, it thinks I'm talking to her. But she said, I'm listening. Are you listening? All right, Siri's listening. Are you listening today, church? And Mark said it this morning. Mark was here before I was. And you know what he told them? He said, get somebody that's young and going to make a lot of mistakes. And boy, did that prophecy ever come to fruition. And here we are. But what he said earlier just now was what I mentioned last week, was that the faithfulness of our past has led to our fruitfulness of the present. The people that got on their knees when the church could barely pay the bills, if not even pay the bills. The people that continued to come and to support and to minister when they didn't know if anyone was going to come. That's the reason that we're here today. is because of the faithfulness of those that have come before us, who maybe we won't even know. And what I told you last week and what we're going to use driving into this week is that you and I will become someone's past. In the years to come, when my girls are big, you and I, the work that we do will be their past. So if we expect them to see fruitfulness in their present, then you and I right now in our day must grow in faithfulness to the Lord, must grow in repentance, must grow in surrender. We must grow in service. We must grow in love. We must grow in mercy. We must grow in grace, all the while growing in faithfulness. Why? Because we are envisioning the years to come. We aren't here to celebrate the same old and what God's always done. We're here to envision what God is continuing to do in us and through us. Because if you haven't noticed yet, church, there is still a lot of work to be done. There are still a lot of families to be reached. There are still a lot of people struggling in sin, drowning themselves in sin. There are a lot of people living in shame. And here we are, and we are to renew our vision. So all that we're doing in this season of going to two service times, to open up seating, to go into the season of prior to Easter, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but it is Lent season where I have given up exercise and nutrition to honor the Lord. And we're preparing our hearts for Easter, the resurrection. And just pray for me. No, but seriously, we are preparing our hearts for our Easter service and the celebration of His resurrection. And the seasons are changing. And what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to find yourself in November and December and think, man, I wish I would have. I wish we would have. So Haggai's deliver the message. They are beginning to work. And in chapter 2, it says, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give you peace, or I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So here we are in a time in which the people have started to work. And Haggai is the prophet that God's using to get to his people. And God speaks to his people and he asks them, those of you who remember, do you not remember what this place looked like before? Because what this means is that those who were over the age of about 60 would have remembered Solomon's temple prior to being destroyed by the Babylonians. So what he's asking them is, hey, take a second and just remember what it once was. Because what may have happened up to this point is that they have began to work. However, the way that it looks now, they are actually growing in disappointment because they understand that it is not going to look the same that it did before. And God is commanding them to check their heart, check their attitude, because it's kind of an attitude of disappointment because they're working and laboring, yet they're constantly remembering or maybe thinking those who were old enough, or maybe they had heard stories if they were a little bit younger, of how beautiful and how big and how majestic this temple used to be. And isn't it ever so true sometimes in ministry within churches that we can get caught up on what it used to look like, that we can miss out on something new that God is doing? Could it be that sometimes we dwell on what once was Could it be that we could dwell on things that once were, though good, and focus our hearts and our attention trying to duplicate something that has already happened? Now, what I've noticed is when I was reading this and I was thinking of all of the times that God called one person after another, you know, never did I ever see God, and Mark may correct me if I'm wrong, Adam and a few others who are much more intelligent than I am may correct me if I'm wrong. However, God has never called one group of people to duplicate what had already been done in someone else. He was constantly drawing new people to himself to do new things. In fact, he's not commanding them to build the temple that Solomon built. He's just telling them to get to work and to build it. Though they know it's not going to look exactly alike. It's not going to be the exact same size. It's not going to be the exact same beauty. But here's the thing. If you read a little bit later, he talks about the silver and the gold being his and all the nations are going to bring it in. What we know there is this, is that he is actually using a new way of building the temple, a new way of creating this majestic place in which his glory will dwell. And what I want you to understand is that you and I need to truly, truly commit ourselves to focusing on what God is doing in our lives next. Because some of us may have had a season of life that was beautiful with the Lord, yet we try to duplicate that. Well, if I could just be like that again. Oh, if I could just serve like that again, if I just had the time like I had in that season. And I am telling you that God will never call you to duplicate something you have already done in the past, and he will never call us as a body to duplicate something that someone else did. He is calling us to commit ourselves to what has not yet been done. And the way I say that is because if you haven't noticed yet or not, I'm not quite Mark Wilkinson and knowledge and intelligence. Like, we've got a lot of work to do. And y'all got a lot of praying to do. And the Lord has blessed us for sure, but just know that when we move forward, it's not going to always look the same. And the people we're trying to duplicate, and God is calling them to new. God is using a new way to bring wealth and to bring possession and power into this place that these people are building. And one of the beautiful things that he does is he goes back to the past. So again, he asks them, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? And then he goes on to talk about how he brought them out of Egypt. He said, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. So what he's doing in this particular conversation is he's drawing the people back to their past, which the faithfulness of the past, fruitfulness of the present, we get that. But he's drawing them back to the past because he is reminding them of all of the times that he has been faithful, because he's commanding them to be strong, get to work, fear not, get to work, be strong. And what he does is he goes back to Egypt. Now, to those people, anytime they heard Egypt, it was a reminder of the beautiful power of their father and of their God who delivered them from over 400 years of captivity. And he had delivered them into a promised land. Even after a generation that wandered in the wilderness, they eventually made it to where God had promised to land them. And whenever he mentions the past, he is reminding them of his faithfulness season after season after season. So what I want us to do right now is I want us to just think for a second about the faithfulness of our God. Can we just do that for just a second? I mean, it is great to move on, but I want us to just take a second and to think about all of the seasons in life that God brought us from. You should not even be here right now or sometimes have the things that you have if it was not for the faithfulness of our God. We would not have the possessions we have. We would not have the family we have. We would not have the ministry we have if it was not for the faithfulness of our God. So what we need to do right now for just a second, you can close your eyes or keep them open. I want you to just thank the Lord for what he has done for you. Just think about where you could be and where God has brought you. Just think about the wilderness wandering you've gone through in life, yet God has been faithful to bring you out of. Just think of all of the people that have turned their back and all of the things said about you that could have paralyzed you and kept you living in fear, yet God has been faithful to comfort, to strengthen, and to uplift. Can we just thank Him for just a second? Anybody here thankful for where God has brought you from? Anybody thankful that though you didn't physically live in Egypt, there were seasons of your life that you walked around in bondage, and now you're set free? Anybody here thankful that though you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there is yet a free gift offered to those who put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord? Anybody here thankful for where God has brought you from? Now here's what He does. He uses the reminder of their past to push them forward. He uses the reminder of where they once were to point them to where He is going next. Because what you see after that, after He mentions the past, He goes on to say, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. He says, work, for I am with you. Fear not. He says, my spirit remains in your midst. And then He talks about how He will shake up the heavens and the earth. If you remember from the previous chapter, that they had planted much but harvested little because there was yet a drought in which they were in that was caused because of their own disobedience and because of their own sin and because of their own neglect of the power or of the work of the Lord that He had called them to. And what I want you to know is that He is calling these people to building a temple just as He is calling you to build a temple. Now, what do I mean by that? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I think I have it on the screen for you. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 6, sorry. 19 and 20, he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And what I want to do is I want us to connect over the next few minutes the temple in which they were building with the temple that you and I should be building. See, the temple they were building was not their own, just like the body, the gift that I have of this life is not my own. The breath that I breathe, or the breath that I breathe, that I take, the oxygen that comes, is it oxygen that comes out or comes in and carbon monoxide comes out, right? Is that right? Carbon dioxide. Why is it dioxide? Because it's two, right? So oxygen comes out, carbon dioxide comes, or oxygen comes in and carbon dioxide comes out. I told y'all it's real early, all right? It's daylight savings time. But what I want you to know is that there is actually more that comes out when you breathe out than what went in. So that what God is doing each and every breath that we have is He is giving us breath, yet He is producing more through us than we actually consume. So what I want you to do is I want you to now view yourself as the temple in which God is calling you to build for His glory to dwell. Because why did they build this temple in the first place? It wasn't of their own power. It wasn't of their own riches. It was all the resources that God had given them. All the resources, all the wood God had already given them. They were just too busy building their own homes. And the riches of silver and gold that He mentions, He says, they're all mine. All the resources that you need are mine. Everything that I have to offer is mine, yet it is for you to use to bring glory to my name. And He goes on to say, He says, in this place, I will fill this house with glory. So what I want us to understand today is that as they were focused on building the temple, they were building it so that God's glory could dwell. It was all for God's glory. It was not for their own nation. It was not for their own home. And for you and I, we have a gift from God that is called life. It is this body that God is commanding us to put to work and to start building so that His glory could dwell forever and ever in us. And what I want you to understand is this. If we're not careful, instead of building pure temples, we will allow them to be polluted. Here's what we have to understand. The glory of God will not share its space with sin. There is no room for the glory of God to share his space with sin. So if we continue as they did, building up their own homes, if we continue building up our own selves and focusing on who we are and what we have to offer, we will completely miss the mark of allowing God to purify us through his Son, who bled his blood on the cross to wash us whiter than snow, to cleanse us and to purify us, all the while to create a space within our lives for his glory to dwell and his name to be exalted. And it is now our responsibility to not just build it and let it sit, but to maintain a temple in which the glory of the Lord will dwell. See, what I want you to know about yourself and myself is that we're not just, you know, a unique collection of mom and dad's DNA put together. We know the psalm that says we were fearfully and wonderfully made. But you are truly an opportunity for the world to see the presence and the power of your God. You are an opportunity that was what? Bought with a price. You are to be a precious and a pure temple. You are to seek righteousness. We are to seek holiness. We are to seek purity. We are to seek the Lord in all that we do to bring him honor and glory, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do. What we think, what we say, what we do is to bring him honor and to bring him glory, because we were bought with a very expensive price. Therefore, if we were bought with a price, we must be precious to him. Yet, if we're not careful, we will pollute the temple. We'll just pollute it. Living in sin, live for our own name. In fact, just this past week, I think it was last Saturday, my wife was on the road with the three girls in the van, and the car broke down. They said it was bad gas. I don't believe them. I get Casey's gas for years, and I ain't never had an issue. But they said that it was Casey's gas, most likely, that caused the damage to the cylinder that misfired or whatever, and we had to get it replaced real quick. And what they said was that the gas may have been watered down. May have been a little polluted. All the while, it was not supposed to be that way, and it caused a misfire in the vehicle, which we then had to replace because of the damage that the watered down gas caused. And what we can do if we're not careful is we will water down the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way, all the while polluting our own hearts and our own lives. And if we're not careful, we'll water down the gospel in just such a way that we can justify ourselves in our own sin, because it's not a big deal. All the while, we're just taking up space in our own hearts and our own lives for the glory of the Lord to dwell within us. And I don't know about you, but here's the thing. I cannot wait for the day. I can wait because I'm still kind of terrified, but I cannot wait for the day that I stand before the Lord face to face. I want to be able to stand up there with confidence that I purified myself in the name of Jesus Christ of all things. And I want to be able to stand there and to say I did all that I could within my own strength to bring the Lord honor and glory in my words and in my deeds. I want to be able to say that I didn't spend my entire life polluting the gospel and polluting my own temple. I want to be able to stand there and allow him to maybe remind me of the things I could have been and of the times I almost did, yet I didn't. And I surrendered and I repented and I confessed and I left behind all the while so the glory of the Lord could fill this place. All the while, so this temple could be a reflection of my God. All the while, so I could remember the price that was paid for me. We are not our own, church. You are called in this season to build a temple that is pure, a temple that is precious because you were bought with a price. And we as a church are commanded to unity with one another. All the while, building a place in which the glory of the Lord will dwell. That's my vision, not just for myself, but for this entire church, is that we will truly seek holiness. We will truly seek righteousness. We will truly seek repentance. We will truly seek surrendering. Because if we're not careful, we can allow watered down gas into the tank that can actually cause damage. If we allow sin in too long, I've said it before, the longer we flirt with destruction, the closer we are to it. The longer we try to justify, the longer we just try to continue on how we are, we're just simply wasting time and actually causing more damage. And I'm not saying your life will fall apart all at once, but it may unravel piece by piece or all at one time. But I promise you this, that if you do not confess to Jesus Christ as Lord and call upon his name, and if we continue to just pollute ourselves with sin and selfishness, and building up our own paneled houses as they were in this day, then we will actually miss out on a beautiful thing that the Lord will do with us. He was calling these people to build a temple. And they're building it, and he's telling them, be strong, be strong, be strong, fear not, for I am with you. I mean, to think of an imperfect group of people promised to have company by a holy, righteous God, in and of itself is enough for me to want to do the same thing. I know all of us fall short. All of us make mistakes and live at times wandering around. But if we could just spend the next few minutes together, whether it be in prayer and worship, confession, crying out to the Lord, I want us to just truly evaluate what we are putting into our own temple. I'm not here to give you a dietary 101 because I don't have the right to do that. I'm not so much concerned about the food that you're putting in as I am what's coming out of you, your thoughts, your words, your actions. That's what defiles a person. Not so much what comes in physically by food, but what comes out. So I always want us to ask ourselves this morning, are we building polluted temples? Or are we building pure ones? Now, there is a catch to this because you cannot purify yourself on your own. You'll never be clean enough. You'll never be good enough on your own. But the blood of Jesus Christ is a promise to wash us whiter than snow, to purify us. And what I want you to understand is that whenever he said, be strong, it was a command that came with a consequence. That consequence was actually doing something and building it a temple in which the glory of the Lord would dwell. I want you to know that you are an opportunity today for the glory of the Lord to fall on you and to fill you in such a way that you may just change the world. You may just change the world. The problem is the pollution in which we put in. God is calling us to purity. So as we worship, and we're just going to close, y'all can come up if you want now. I know I never asked you to, but I am today.